Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Christopher Howard's here, too, because we got some very important things to talk about with him. Christopher is the author of Turning Passions into Profits, Three Steps to Wealth and Power. And Christopher is an acclaimed international expert on the psychology of wealth and leadership. He's also the president of the Christopher Howard Companies. And as I said, he's the author of Turning Passions into Profits. Christopher, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. Now, in a subtitle, you say three steps to wealth and power. What are those three steps?
Well, it goes into really what the book looks at is the psychology that either keeps people stuck where they are or helps them to be propelled forward in life. And the first step is to wake up to possibility. We all view the world through our preconditioned constraints. So when you get a Donald Trump that looks at a building in New York, he looks at it and sees something different than the person who's serving coffee on the street corner. And what allows him to look into the building and see more opportunity than the person serving the coffee on the street corner is his background. They said that Winston Churchill had a historical sense of vision. He would study the past so he could see opportunities in the future that other people couldn't see. So it's the same thing. It's about being able to see into the world and look and see all the potential and all the possibility that exists. And philosophical thought throughout time in various schools, they said that people were walking around asleep. So the first step is to wake up to the true potential and the true possibility that exists out there. The second step is to consciously choose the game of life you want to play, because most of us are playing a game based upon our past conditioning from our parents, from the people we learned from the people we modeled unconsciously. So when we choose the game we're gonna play, then we can play at a greater level. Do you want to play the game that an Oprah Winfrey's playing, or that a Richard Branson of the Virgin Companies plays? See, when you consciously choose that game, you can directionalize your focus with volition, and then your whole life changes. And then the third step is to play to win. And for me, playing to win means to create a powerful symbiotic effect through and with other people, and through the synergy of the relationships that you draw in, really drive yourself forward to win the game on a massive level. And when I say the game, it's just the metaphor that I use for life in there.
Right.
So those are the three steps. Wake up.
The first one, the way you view something, the way you see something, essentially is what you were saying, how you look at a building, or I look at a building, or Donald Trump looks at a building. One of the things that I try to understand for myself and help other people understand is to try to look at an issue from a lot of different vantage points, but especially from what I and some other people call the 30,000-foot level. Sometimes we just get so close to something, and if we're all so close to a building, it looks like a wall in front of us instead of an opportunity that can be rented to somebody else. How do we get ourselves to back off from something and see it from a different perspective?
It's an interesting question. I like the concept. You quite frankly, you may have some better answers to that than I. My method of doing it, I mean, I have a lot of different techniques and whatnot that help me to dissociate from issues. If I'm really emotionally involved or emotionally charged in an issue, I know that I'm too close to it. So I'll look to gain perspective. I can do that through writing. Mm-hmm. There's some very quick exercises that I do, focus-type exercises, where I'll step out of the situation and maybe project the issue on the wall, mm-hmm. and force it into the form of an image or something like that, so that I can get some learnings from it that can really allow me to see opportunity that I didn't previously see that existed there. But it does take dissociating and stepping out of that experience in order to do that.
Does it ever help to have someone else consult with you about that to get somebody to, you know, maybe you ask somebody if you got a, and for, you know, forget the building idea. It could be your future. You, one of your, in your third chapter, you talk about focus and, you know, and I know focus is important, but sometimes we have the wrong focus.
Sure. No, absolutely. The, you know, it's been said that a man cannot long be his own therapist. So sometimes, sometimes you got to bring in those outside perspectives. I think it's a real wise thing to do. You know, one of the strategies of Richard Branson, who runs the Virgin Companies, is that he'll walk around and he'll take advice from wherever it comes, from the top down inside of his organization. And that's because, quite frankly, there's people that come from different vantage points that see things in different ways. They can offer you a new perspective on things. And when you accumulate viewpoints like that, you can get a pretty good fix on what's really happening and also where your points of opportunity might lie.
You say in chapter three, you say what you focus on determines your reality. That's very true. Talk to us about that.
Absolutely. I had the good fortune earlier this, actually it was last year, I was invited to Warren Buffett's annual shareholder meeting in Omaha, Nebraska. It was just a blast. And somebody asked him, they said, "Mr. Buffett, what do you attribute the phenomenal success of Berkshire Hathaway and your companies to?" And he said, "You know, it's our focus." He said, "Let me tell you a quick story." He said, when the Russian chess player was playing the American chess player, Bobby Fischer, he said there was a big debate that went on about whether a human being could beat a computer at chess. And everybody was coming out saying, "No, there's no way a human being could beat a computer, because a computer could think through every infinitesimal possibility and then make the best move to win the game." But what they found was that the human being could tie the computer or even beat the computer in many cases through a process of what Buffett referred to as being selective grouping. He said that the human being could automatically discount 90% of the possibilities without having to even consider them and focus all of their attention and all of their awareness on the 10% of the possibilities that would make the greatest impact and the greatest difference. And Buffett said, "If you want to know what's made us successful, it's our ability to channel our focus, to focus our attention on the 10% of the possibilities that would make the greatest impact. But even more, and equally importantly, rather, is to discount that 90% of possibilities that would take you in a different direction." And what the problem is that most people don't have the ability to channel their focus like that.
Well, see, I see this, Christopher, when I see people who want to be a small business owner, but they're all across the board. They have no direction. They just know they want to be an owner. They know they want to, you know, basically what they want to do is be able to be their own boss, but they haven't thought about, what am I good at? What are the highest percentages that I could be successful at? And, you know, and what do I have the resources to accomplish? They don't focus on that 10% as you were talking about. I'm going to get you to help us some more with this right after these messages. It's 20 after. Christopher Howard is our guest. He's the author of Turning Passions into Profits. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our new friend, Christopher Howard, the author of Turning Passions into Profits, Three Steps to Wealth and Power. Christopher, tell us where your book's available, please.
You can find it in any good bookstore, Amazon.com, of course.
Hit number one on Amazon recently, didn't it?
Yeah, we just hit, about 3 weeks ago, we hit number one in five categories. Number one, personal development, business, number one, finance, number one, career and life. We hit number two only against Harry Potter overall. We were battling it out.
That's not too bad a company. Congratulations, Christopher. And
thank
folks,
you.
This is just another example of what you've heard me say before. No chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Only the best for my audience. Christopher, give us your website, please.
It's powerofinfluence.com.
Powerofinfluence.com. Christopher, we've been talking about focus, and we've been talking about how important it is to be focused. And I was using the example of people who you said that the way a human could beat or tie a computer at chess is because they rule out 90% of the things that are never going to happen, and they focus on the 10% that have a possibility. That's good advice for anybody thinking about doing anything, an education or a career, starting a business. That's a great little ratio to think about, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, as far back as 1890, William James, who was the father of American psychology, said that our focus is everything. It determines what appears in our world. It determines our experience of life. He said that if only there were a way to teach it, that would be an education extraordinaire. But unfortunately, it seems too hard to teach, is what he said at the time. Well,
right.
Times have changed, and that's what we teach people how to do.
In Chapter 4 of your book, you talk about what determines focus. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, a lot of the drivers of our focus are unconscious, and people think that they're consciously aware or consciously in charge of their focus. But if you consider the relationship between the conscious mind and the unconscious mind as being like a captain and a crew on a ship at sea, the captain runs the ship. The captain's in charge, but the crew runs the ship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's becoming aware of the unconscious drivers of focus that can really allow you to channel your focus in more powerful ways. The unconscious drivers of focus would be things like your values, what's most important to you in life, because the values of a Fijian fisherman are going to be different than the values of a stockbroker. So your values will sculpt the game of life you play.
Let's say that somebody's thinking about starting a business, and on the top of their mind, they're thinking that what they really want is to be their own boss and to get away from maybe the boss that they have.
Right.
But maybe underlying all that really should be the focus is that what they really like is making pottery.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I agree.
And so you know they need, what they need to realize is that they, or whatever it might be, maybe they like working with animals or helping working with the elderly or whatever it might be. But the thing is that there's something inside of you that's what you talk about in your book. There's something inside of you that you should be trying to find what that is and focus on that.
Yeah, absolutely, because there's a way to monetize that. You know, Donald Trump's father told him when he was young, he said, if you're not passionate about what you do, you will not stick with it long enough to be truly financially successful with it. So I absolutely believe that that's so.
Well, the reason that's true in small business, Christopher, absolutely, is because there'll be many, many, many days when the operation of your business, the function of operating your business, will make you not want to come back the next morning.
Yeah,
and if there's not something there beyond that, beyond the way the business has to be operated, if there's not something fundamentally there, like the pottery or whatever it might be that causes you to come back, you won't come back.
Yeah, some love, some drive that's bigger than just the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
You also in Chapter 5 you talk about perception, that you say perception is projection. Tell us
right.
about that.
That just means that the world's a reflection of your consciousness. So if I had a guy that called up on a teleseminar I was doing a couple weeks ago, and he said, well, why is it that people will, and it sounded like he was a jaded CEO or something, but he said, why is it that people will only stick with you for a while and that they can't stay motivated to be with you long term? And I said, well, why is it? There's a big presupposition there, a big assumption there. And that assumption is that that's the case for everybody in everybody's world, because that's certainly not the case for me in my world.
Mm-hmm.
So our assumptions will determine what we see in the world as well. That's another thing that determines what becomes our experience, our assumptions about business, our assumptions about life.
Afraid I would have had to have asked him, well, maybe I should be asking you, what is it about you that makes people not want to work for you very long?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the perception is projection question that would drive it back home. Because clearly he was doing something that would cause this, because that's not everybody's experience. But mm-hmm. he had mistaken that for being everybody's experience.
But in his mind, it was their fault. It was their defect, not his.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's what perception is.
He had a character flaw rather than being a neurotic, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
10 seconds, 20 seconds. Actually, I'm going to give you 20 seconds. Last thoughts, Christopher.
Yeah. Last thoughts is just that, you know, for the individuals listening, you can be, do, have, and create anything that you want in your life. If you just get curious enough, the answer to any question you could possibly have exists, and you'll find it. So the book can certainly help you along that path.
Turning passions into profits. Give us the website again.
It's powerofinfluence.com.
And they can find out more about the book there. Also, it's wherever books are sold. Christopher, thank you for being here. Good job today, and congratulations on the book.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Jim.
See you next time.
back.
Quick break, right back with Rich Galen after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Close your eyes.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.